Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was not the 12th Hour and the Elgin, Texas. Today is March the 23rd, 2024, or it is the 14th day of Abib 2028. We're going to start our first service on this Sabbath day. With the song, the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than flesh with blood and a righteous bed. I dare not trust the cedar's bank, but wholly lean on Joshua's name. On Joshua the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. And darkness fails his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds with in the tail. Only Joshua the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is out his cavern at his bed, support me in the whelming flood. And all around my soldiers lay, even is all my hope and stay. And just for the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, fruitless to stand before the throne. On Joshua the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We'll do a prayer thought. And again, to our sermon, the name of our sermon is A Rod That Speaks Tossed for the Reformation and Creates Great Controversy. Now that's February the 8th, 1947 by V.T. Harder. Okay. I know where I was at on February the 8th, 1947. I was out on a farm in West Texas. We had moved there November the 19th, 1946. Okay, so anyway, that's how long ago this sermon has been. It's a long time. 70, at least 70 some years. our first thought, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, actually, we're settled on. We'll start with verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of the Yeshua. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. Now he's talking to his Corinthians Gentile kinsmen. This is Paul. He's a Jew of the tribe Benjamin. He said, I'm a Pharisee. He said, by recognition, I'm a Pharisee, but I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is the Yeshua, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yeshua is his father Yahweh. every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. So a woman with all of her hair on her head is all one, is all one. But when she puts a covering over the top of that hair, it's called a covering. Her hair is not called a covering, but Paul does go on to say that in one place, he seemed to say that her hair is her covering. Let's go ahead and read it. For even the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Okay. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Right there. See, Paul makes it clear that she's to have an additional head covering on her head. Made a distinction between the man and the woman. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is in the image. They left out the preposition in, so I had to add it. For he is in the image and glory of the Father Yahweh. But the woman is in the glory of the man. So now when you put the proper preposition in there, it gives you a little different meaning. But the woman is of the man. Okay, for the man is not of, or is not of the woman. And not, yeah, is not of the woman. You see, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. Okay. For this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man, in the Yeshua. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of the Yahweh. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto Yahweh uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Okay. So when when a woman prays unto Yahweh, she's supposed to have long hair, but she's got to cover that long hair to pray before Yahweh. Otherwise, she'll get a big head and say, "Oh, my beautiful hair is called my covering." And we had that happen at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas. A woman joined our church, and she had long, beautiful hair clear down the waist, and she covered her hair at first. But one day she read this here, and she read it wrong here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. She said, "Well, I'm not supposed to cover my head. It's for my glory. I'm going to take my covering off now." Well, when she did, she rebelled. She got thrown out of the church, dismembered. Threw her and her membership out. And she went off, and she quit all religion altogether. She rebelled. because she couldn't stay in a church that didn't believe in that and defile the church by putting taking her head covering off while we prayed in church. That's what Yahweh thought about that. And I prophesied her demise. I told her, if you don't put the head covering on, you will not, the door will be locked to you the next time you come to church. Lo and behold, Brother Johnson had a reason to lock the door with his teeth. He went back to unlock the door at a certain time. Right before that woman showed up to come to services, she knocked on the door and she said, why am I locked out? And she was told. And I had prophesied that she would be locked out, and I didn't know how it was going to happen. But it happened. So, just little things like that. Okay? So it says in verse 13, judge in yourself, is it comely that a woman pray unto the Yahweh uncovered? Does not even nature teach itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Okay. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory unto her. Now notice the indefinite article A. It didn't say the definite article V. It said that it is a glory. It is a personal glory to her head, but it's not the same glory of heaven. When it says put a covering over that head, over that hair. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither in the churches of the other. Now, in this, Paul classified that as a custom. Okay. Now, I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Yeshua's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of Yahweh, and shame them that have not? Which, in other words, you bring your eating stuff to the church, and you sit down, and you eat and drink whatever you bring, and there's others sitting around you. They're too poor. They don't have any food. Are you going to share your food with them? No, you're going to sit right down there and eat right in front of them. You're going to drink right in front of them. This is not to be done in the church of Yahweh. Okay. What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this I praise you not? For I have received of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Yeshua, in the same night, he was betrayed. And he had taken bread. He took bread. So let's read that verse 23 again. For I have received of the Yahshua that which also I delivered unto you, that the Yahshua, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. Okay. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, I also, okay, he said, eat. Let's read that again. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body. Was and is broken for you. It is broken on the cross. And in the form of this emblem, now it is broken on a yearly basis for you. Is the present tense verb. Was is the past tense adverb. He was initially broken on the cross, and now he's broken every year in the form of the emblems of the bread and the wine, which is broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me. Now, when you perform the Yahshua's ordinance, this, and it starts tonight for the first Passover of the year, but we're not going to be conducted this year, the first Passover. We're going to try to take the second Passover a month later with the world, because we're not prepared this year because of circumstances. Okay? Verse 25. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, from year to year only, at the appointed time, and drink this cup, ye do show Yahshua's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Yahshua unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Yahshua. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Yahshua's body. And this is the reason we're not having the Passover this year, the first Passover, because we have such a problem has arisen in our midst, and mainly with my wife. So she's in the hospital right now. She's unable to be here to have the Yahshua's Supper in the place where he chose to place his name. That's where we're at now. She's not able to be here. Okay. Yahshua already took care of her situation, and it's not supposed to happen this year. There's something wrong, and we will ferret it out, and we'll have it all right for either the second Passover or next year. All right, for this cause, many are weak, verse 30, and sickly among you, and many sleep. Okay, so my wife is very weak today, and she's very sickly. She's in the hospital. Okay. And if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So right here it says, right, if we will judge ourselves and either partake of it or not partake of it, We will judge according to the law and the testimony if we're worthy to take of it. And if we judge it ourselves and we judge it right, then Yahweh won't have to judge us. He let us be our own judges if we judge according to the law and the testimony. But if we can't do that, then Yahweh will become our judge. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Yahshua, that we should not be condemned with the world. So my wife had to have judgment brought upon her because she was had a problem with us having a Passover this year with our landlord that wanted to take care of it with us, but she is defiled and my wife wanted me to allow it, her presence, and I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't allow it last year, and so she was going to try to repeat it this year, and I wouldn't allow her presence this year because of the same circumstances. And my wife wanted to approve of it, and I told her she could not do that. And so Yahweh took her out of the way. And she insisted on this woman coming in and defiling our camp. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So there's your key words right there. That if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Alright, now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6. And it says, verse 1, but are there any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Okay, so the purified saints are the only ones authorized to judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you not worthy to judge the smallest matters? So you being saints, and if the world shall be judged by you, which it shall be, then are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? So my wife Catherine was called upon to judge the smallest matters with her landlord, wanting to defile our Passover service, and she wanted to justify it with her. And so my wife was not qualified then to judge the smallest matters, because she was not going to judge it according to the law and the testimony, but according to personal feeling. And Yahweh were not allowed. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Okay. Isn't it strange that the seven ministers of the seven candlesticks of the churches of Asia, they're human beings that was placed in charge of the candlesticks, and they were called angels. That's in Revelation 1:20. They're called angels, earthly angels. And if we have a faulty angel of a candlestick here on earth, then Yahweh will raise up a judge to judge that man that's identified as an angel. That's what it means here. Earthly angels. Ministers that have inspiration are to have a title as an earthly angel. Say so. Revelation chapter 1 says so. How much more things that pertain to this life? Okay. So if we're going to judge the prophets that are placed in charge of the candlestick, of Israel, the ministry, for if Yahweh raised up saints in their midst to judge even the leaders, which are called angels here on earth, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining unto this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Well, Yahweh set me in the church of Gilead Center for 33 years, and I was the wise man that he sent in that church to judge the smallest matters among them for 33 years, and I did. Against their will. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of the Yahweh? Okay. The unrighteous is not going to inherit the kingdom of the Yahweh. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with the mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of the Yahweh. Now this is talking about people that are in line for inheritance of the kingdom of heaven when it comes down to sit up. Okay. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Yahshua and by the Spirit of our Yahweh. So how are you justified by the Yahshua? It says justified. You go to Romans chapter 5, read verse 9 to 11. It tells you that you're justified by the blood of Yahshua. It uses the word blood there and the word justified. So when it uses the word justified here by itself, and it says, and you're justified in the name of the Yahshua, it's supposed to say you're justified in the blood of the name of the Yahshua and by the Spirit of our Yahweh, the Father. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but Yahweh shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for the fornication, but for the Yahshua, and the Yahshua for the body. And the Father Yahweh has both raised up his Son Yahshua, and will also raise up us by his own power. Alright. Now let's go to Hebrews 13:20. And read about the same kind of power that raised up Yahshua from the grave. Let's see if we can find it right quick. Hebrews 13:20. Now that the Yahweh of the peace that brought again from the dead our Yahshua, our Savior Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Okay, so how did Yahshua come from the grave? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, by the power of the Father, through the blood. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the blood, okay, in the name of the blood of the Yahshua, and by the Spirit of his Father Yahweh. For all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for the meats, but Yahweh shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for the fornication, but for the Yahshua, and the Yahshua for the body. And the Father Yahweh has both raised up his Son Yahshua, Hebrews 13:20, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and will also raise us up through the blood of the everlasting covenant by his own power. Okay. I added that through the blood there on that verse 14. But it belongs. Know you not that your bodies are the members of the Yahshua? Shall I then take the members of the Yahshua and make them as the members of an harlot? Okay. So I'll add that preposition as. Verse 16. What? Know you not that he that is joined unto an harlot is become one body? For the two saith, he shall be come one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Yahshua is in the one spirit. Flee of fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know you not that your body is made in the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you, that ye have of Yahweh, and that ye are not of your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify the Father, Yahweh, in your body and in your spirit that belongs unto your Creator, Yahweh, the Father. End of chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Okay, we're going to turn to Numbers chapter 9, and verse 1. And the Yahshua spake unto Moses in the wilderness of the Sinai in the first month of the second year, that they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying that the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even you shall keep it in its appointed season, according unto all the nights, rites of it, and according unto all the ceremony thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of the Israel that they should keep the Passover. And he kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according unto all that Yahshua commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Asher in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Asher will command concerning you. And the Asher spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by the reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Asher. And the 14th day of the second month, at even, they shall keep it, and eat it with the unleavened bread and bitter herbs, for they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all that the ordinances of the Passover, that of the ordinances of the Passover, that they shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Asher in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. Verse 14, And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Asher, according unto the ordinance of the Passover, and according unto the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. Okay? You got to have one ordinance. You have to have one ordinance. For both of them. For both. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the clouds covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there were upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of the fire until the morning. So it was always for the cloud that covered it by the day, and the appearance of fire by the night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tent. At the commandment of the Yahshua, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Yahshua, they pitched as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tent. And when the cloud turned long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Asherah and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Yahshua, they abode in their tents, and according unto the commandment of Yahshua, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by the day or by the night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon. For the children of the Israel abode in their tent and journeyed not. Let's do that again. Let's read verse 22 all over again. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, that the children of the Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not, then it was taken up. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Yahshua, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Yahshua, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Yahshua at the commandment of the Yahshua by the hand of Moses. Now notice we're using Yahshua in the place of Yahweh the Father, because Yahshua is that rock in the cloud, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says that Yahshua was that rock in the cloud. And let's read it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the son Yahshua. But with many of them, Yahweh was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are in samples that the intent we should not lust after the evil thing, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. For these people that were commingled with down here in our place now are idolaters. They've got images of idols lining their driveways, and you drive in their driveway to their house. They got images of these here idols. So it says, be ye not that be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, that people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Yahshua, as the son of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. that hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common unto man. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the same temptation also make a way for the escaping, that ye may be able for the bearing of that temptation. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from fornication. Oh, flee from idolatry. What did I say, fornication? Says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I mean flee from idolatry. I speak as unto the wise man. Judge ye what I say? For the cup of the blessing, which we bless, is it not for the communion of the blood of the Yahshua? For the bread which we break, is it not for the communion of the body of the Yahshua? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice unto idols is anything? But I say that that the Gentile sacrifice, for they sacrifice unto devils and not unto the Yahweh. And I would not that you should have the fellowship with the devils. But that's what you would be having right here if you allow this woman, our landlord, to come in here and influence the Passover to be conducted contrary to the law of these ordinances that I'm reading about. That would be defilement in the worst degree. You cannot drink of the cup of Yahshua and the cup of the devil. You cannot be partakers of Yahshua's table and of the table of the devil. Do we provoke the Yahshua to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man speak of his own. Verily, every man of another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eats asking no question for the conscience sake. For the earth is Yahshua, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whosoever is set before you, eat, and ask you no question for the conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in the sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Yahshua's and the fullness thereof. For the conscience, I say, not of thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by the grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I gave thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all unto the glory of the Yahweh. Give none offense neither unto the Jews, nor unto the Gentiles, nor unto the purified congregation, temple, of the Yahweh. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Okay, Psalms 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Yahshua, my strength, for the Yahshua is my rock. Now, Paul said that Yahshua is that rock in the cloud by the day that led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. He was that rock in the day and that rock in the night for a refuge. And my fortress and my deliverer. He is my Yahweh and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. David is rejoicing here. He said, Yahshua is the horn of my salvation, and he's my high tower. So Yahshua is my high tower that I look to. I will call upon the Yahshua who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Okay, I've got enemies that are trying to destroy this kingdom that Yahweh has placed me in charge of since Passover 2002. They are invaders. They are very subtle. Okay. For the sorrows of the death compass me, and the floods of the unrighteous men made me afraid. For the sorrows of hell compassed me about, for the snares of the death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Yahshua, and cried unto my Father Yahweh, for he heard my voice out of his temple. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. For the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and the fire out of his mouth devoured, for the coals were kindled by it. For he bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Okay, so Yahshua, he came, and he riding in a flying saucer. He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He says that for he made darkness as his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters, and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed hail, stones, and coals of the fire. For Yahshua also thundered in the heaven, and the house gave voice, hailstones and coals of the fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows, and scattered them, and he shot out the lightnings, and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Yahshua, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, for he sent from above. For he mocked me, he drew me out of the many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. So I've got those that hate me, even right here. They hated me in Kermit. They hated me in the Adventist Church before Kermit in the 60s. For they were too strong for me. For they prevented me in the day of my calamity. But Yahshua was my stay. For he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. For Yahshua rewarded me according unto my righteousness. According unto the cleanness of my hand hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Yahshua and have not wickedly departed from my Yahweh. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore hath the Yahshua recompensed me according unto my righteousness, according unto the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. But the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright mind thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show of thyself pure. And with the forefront thou wilt show thyself forward. Or with the forward, he's going to show himself, wilt thou show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people. And we are an afflicted people right now here at the kingdom of Yahweh. Now it's not the 12th hour. We are afflicted. I have a wife in the hospital with a broken hip at this time. I have affliction. For thou wilt light my candle. For the Yahweh, Yahweh will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my Yahweh have I leaped over a wall. Let's read the last two verses again. For thou wilt light my candle, for the Yahshua, my King and Redeemer, will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. Okay, and by the Yahshua, King of Israel, have I leaped over a wall. As for the Yahshua, his way is perfect. Just like his Father's way is perfect. Okay. It says his way is perfect. Now that word perfect lends to Matthew chapter 5, the last verse. Let's go read it. It says, it might be chapter 6, I don't know. It says that chapter 5. Let's read verse 47 and 48 of Matthew chapter 5. For if we love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, as your Father that is in heaven is perfect. So now what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Okay. So let's go back to Psalms 18 verse 30 again. As for the Yahweh, his way is perfect. or the Yahshua. His way is perfect, for the word of Yahshua is tried, for he is a barker unto all those that trust in him. For who is the Yahshua, save the Son Yahshua, and who is the rock, save the Son Yahshua? For it is the Yahshua that girdeth me with the strength and maketh my way perfect. For he maketh my feet like the hind's feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hand to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And that's the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's the shield of his salvation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Romans 3, 24 and 25. Okay. This says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise, for they are fallen under my feet. Okay, that happened in Kermit, Texas. The whole organization, headed by Brother Johnson, from 33 and a half years, Yahweh says, I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Whose feet are they falling under? Well, David is the one that's pursuing after his enemy. So it'd be under David's feet. For thou hast girded me with the strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Okay. For they cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Yahshua, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small, as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me as the head of the heathen, as a people whom I have not known shall serve me. So David said, people that I have not known is going to serve him. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. For the strangers shall submit themselves unto me. For the strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. For Yahshua liveth, and blessed be my rock and my salvation to the blood of the everlasting covenant of Hebrews 10. 19 and 20. And let the Yahshua of my salvation be exalted. Let the plan of the salvation of the brother everlasting covenant of this divine ordinances of the sanctuary of Leviticus 23, the whole 44 verses. Okay. Let that law be exalted with the creation calendar that Elijah David and his wife publishes every year. It is Yahweh that avenges me and subdueth the people under me. For let's read that again. For it is the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. For he delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Yahshua, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. For the great deliverance given he unto his king, and showeth mercy unto his anointed, unto thee, David, and unto his seed forevermore. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the frost I hear falling on my head, the sound, yeah, is closing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush to sing. The melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and it's all we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, though he bids me go through the forest of woe, his voice to me is calling, and he with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I